for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of having with me Rick Bochner, who lives in Canada part-time and in Holland part-time. He was one of my early day colleagues when I first began to study with my grandmother. And in 1979, so Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Phyllis.
And where are you calling from now?
The comfort of my own house.
Oh.
For a change, yes.
Canada.
I got back from Europe about 4 days ago.
Oh, great. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I just love revisiting the old times, and I would really love it if you could assist others in recalling those times when we met. Was that in 79?
Yeah, I believe it was 79. Yes, sir, I think it was springtime because I remember sitting on the hillside full of flowers talking with you.
Oh, but maybe it was 78 because
yeah. You
were initiated in 1979
right.
As a master.
I know, in 1980. October of 1980.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was 78. Okay. I think it was, yeah.
So how did you come to hear about Reiki? Because you were way back in the forests of British Columbia?
Well, the first time I encountered it, I was at a yoga retreat in the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And somebody there lived not far from Barbara Brown's farm. And said that there was this woman coming there and that we should stop by on the way home. So I asked a bit about it, and it sounded a bit intriguing. And my first wife was interested in receiving some treatments from Mrs. Takata. And when we called to check that out, she said, well, I'm teaching a class, and I really don't have any time for treatments. This takes all the time and energy I've got right now. So perhaps another time. And we kept going. So I missed her the first time, but I did stop at Wanya Twan's house on the way home and told her about it. And that was Wanya's first connection to Hawea Takata. Of course.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I had been connected with Barbara.
She had just bought a box of old books, and I stopped by and told her about this woman who was going to be at this place, and then she was putting these books away that night, and a book fell out of the box and landed at her feet, and it was We Are All Healers by Sally Hammond, and it had a chapter on Hawea Takata in it, which she immediately stumbled upon and read, and that convinced her to try and get to the class at Barbara's.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a typical Wanya. These things
happen
all in one moment, huh?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can live in a rural place, and synchronicity still happens, you know? So
that's great.
Yeah, so Wanya got there before me, and then the next year I was in some turmoil in my personal life and trying to deal with a separation and marriage coming apart and all this stuff. And friends of mine went to a class that Takata gave again, and this time at Wanya's place.
Right, where I was.
Yeah, and then she followed that with a class at Barbara's, and I was basically forced into a truck, given a credit card, and told to leave by several friends concerned about my state. And ended up almost as hijacked into going to this Reiki class, which became a real life-changing experience for me.
Well, that's great. It just goes to show you that willingness is not everything.
No. And I think about this when I get people coming to my classes. They say, well, I was going to take the class, but I wasn't feeling very well, you know. And and I kind of was not feeling well profoundly, and ended up being delivered to this Reiki class, which happened to coincide with a very vivid dream that I'd had that resulted in a song, and I didn't realize the connection until halfway through this class when I realized that this dream that the song came from was actually playing out in front of my face, and I should sit up straight and listen.
Do you have a short version of that dream? Because I feel like it's such a...
It has become sort of part of Reiki myth, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has.
Well, I've spent years and years in the forest industry in British Columbia, first working for the Forest Service and then working in reforestation as a tree planter. So I had this dream one night where I was looking up a mountain that had been logged and clear cut and burned, and it was all black stumps and desolation. And down the hill came this grizzly bear, very large bear, coming towards me. And in the dream I remember saying something to the effect of, feet don't fail me now, and trying to get out of there. And I couldn't move. I was transfixed. I was just stuck. And this bear came right up to me and stood up on his hind legs, and it had an oriental human face in the form of this very large bear. And it was so powerful. And I just lay down in front of the bear, and when I looked up, there were some people there, and we wandered off into the woods together, and there was some kind of transfer of information that happened in the dream, and we ended up at this little house in the woods with five granny-like sage women there who gave us cookies and tea and smiled, but there was something so big and profound going on that no words were necessary. And then I woke up, wrote this song in about 5 minutes, and I've been playing it for 4 years. When I get to Barbara's house and I'm looking around, it's at a little cabin in the woods. There's five women Reiki masters there. And none of this makes any dent in my armor. And until Dakota finally, at one point in her talk, put up both her hands like the bear head in the dream, looked straight at me and said, Reiki, very powerful. At which point I saw the bear, turned out to be a 5-foot-tall Japanese woman, but the impact was the same.
Yeah.
And I felt all this electricity moving up and down my spine, and that was my energetic moment of recognizing in Reiki something that I was important that I follow for my own health and well-being. And so that dream played out on the spot 4 years later. And after I told Mrs. Takata about it, I think she went off and had a short discussion with you and came back and started my training in, as a teacher, which went on for a few years until October of 1980 when I was initiated by her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful time.
Well, it sure was, and I just, you know, I was writing about it today for some other things I'm doing, and trying to convey the sense of innocence and magic around it that I still feel when I'm in that kind of situation. And we were so excited. It was just totally alive, and it created a whole community in the southeast corner of BC that was quite cohesive for a number of years as we all grew with it.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing because it was one of the things that struck me at the time, and now I am very nostalgic for, is this kind of innocence that happened that was... everything was just natural. It was like the most amazing thing, like finding apples on a tree or something, and that was just so natural. It was sort of like that was what Reiki was.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And there's a kind of a child mind around that I really value still when I meet people that don't have to have everything proven or can actually respond to the energy in it and feel it in that way. So it becomes a form of play instead of a job or a practice with a capital P, you know?
It
was very lovely just to experiment with what we could do with a community who had Reiki and the willingness to play with it for a while. And so there was kind of a informality around it. Takata often expressed that Reiki should be like first aid or making bread or learning to cook or looking after your children. It was a kind of almost a family skill, and she put a lot of emphasis on working in your community and your immediate family rather than going out to spread the word in other ways, you know, and so it brought it back home very quickly, and that was very appropriate for our group of people at the time.
Yes, and I feel like that community in British Columbia really just embraced it and has in some way held that energy, perhaps for the rest of the community. Like, each part of the community holds a certain essence of energy, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, back then, if you had, I don't know, you obviously didn't know what to expect, but did you ever think about it at the time as being something that was like something about spiritual, or was it mostly emotional? Or it certainly sounded like your friends were worried about your spirit.
Well, my friends were worried about my state of mind and my spirit at the time, for sure, and as was I at a level I maybe couldn't quite touch. But what it opened up for me then was a kind of a vehicle for developing trust.
Uh-huh.
Because I had to, things happened with me when I started to work with Reiki that I couldn't explain and didn't need to. And so, that meant that I moved from a very, sort of scientific medical approach to things more into a realm of the energy itself. And once that happened, I felt like I was taught by the Reiki. So I guess that's a break coming up there.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we'll pick this happy. Up.
Yeah. Well, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back after the station break with Rick Faulkner.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune in listening to InnerSpeak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. InnerSpeak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today we have with us Rick Faulkner, who's now in Canada. And one of my very favorite places, and when I say Canada, it means he's now in the off an island off the coast of Vancouver. And when we first met, we were in British Columbia, but the other side of British Columbia on the east, well, somewhat east, in a mountain area called the Kootenays. So, Rick, the question was, did you expect or was your expectation when you first came to meet my grandmother that Reiki would somehow be something to do with the spirituality?
I didn't really know what to expect, but I kind of went there more for learning about the body, healing, adjusting some things in my own life to try and be healthier, more, I would say less lofty objectives. I wanted to feel good, and I wanted health, and I wanted to understand it. And if it gave me something to communicate with other people with, then that was a plus. But I wasn't looking for a career in healing or something like that. As a matter of fact, I didn't like the word very much. And so what happened, though, was that once I received Reiki, especially second degree, it was kind of a doorway. And I've come to see these initiations as doorways more than anything else. It's not an arrival to a destination, but it's a door opens that wasn't there before. And what it led me to was an increased awareness of curiosity and questions and observations about how things work around me. And because I had to contend with the question of distance healing, which I still am amazed by, the idea of using energy over a distance to work with people. And that was quite hard to get my head around in many ways until I began to feel myself kind of expanding in that direction. And so at that point, it did become a question of sort of cosmic proportions, trying to understand how energy moved in the world and what this was that I was holding in my hands when I was treating people, and how did I really receive it. And at that point, I'd say it became a vehicle for self-expression and personal growth and some sense of an order to things that I could get a glimpse of if I was lucky,
Yeah.
So it was about paying attention at that point and less about just finding people to treat or treating myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've come to think about spirituality in this very practical sense of paying attention and being present in the moment, which means for me not remembering all my old habits and my old belief systems, but coming to things with fresh eyes, with this innocence that we were talking about before, and being able to just let go of those things that hooked me and caused me to be someone other than who I really am. And it feels a little bit like New Age jargon, but on the other hand, that's what it feels like to me, that I can recall some of my old patterns very easily. But once I'm in them, somehow I'm able to step out of that. And this is the place where we might call personal development and spiritual development seem to overlap.
Yes, yes.
Or join somehow. Is that your experience too? Or?
Yeah, and I also realized that there were certain moments that were real thresholds for me around letting go of my identification with pain in my own life, you know. And that, and those were, I've tried to replicate that process as I do work with groups now. But there is an element of going into something with an open mind and then being observant and having discernment in your mind, like trying to, not thinking, but trying to understand through not thinking. And then release. And several times in my early years with Reiki, I felt this massive release of kind of a tension or a preoccupation or an obsession or just a kind of an energy that had a hold of me that was no longer of use. It was no longer helpful. Mm-hmm. And those were very dramatic. And I think I needed that to stay with it. People say, oh, you've had such amazing experiences, and all I can say to them is, you know, that's what it took for me to be able to work with this in a fuller way. Other people are closer to it than me, and they don't have to go through such drama all the time around it. But for me, I had to have a couple of big insights, and I was amazed at how Reiki facilitated that. I guess I would have maybe come to it anyway. I'll have no way of knowing, but the Reiki actually made it, gave me the courage to do it and the trust that it would work out better and kind of move forward into redefining myself as I grew.
As we speak about this, I just remember a lot of years when you were raising your children and, you know, getting your homestead ready in on the islands that you live on now and so on, and my sort of wish that I could talk to you more and be with you more, and somehow at just the right time, and I should have trusted Reiki, you emerged from this kind of unknown place, which all of us who knew you before kind of felt like you had gone into some kind of hibernation.
I know.
But I know for you it didn't feel like that.
Well, it was very funny to me because for a while thereafter, I was initiated by Takata. People expected me to sort of leap forward, carrying some kind of banner, and head out into the world and spread Reiki around. And actually what she told me to do was work with my family and my community and be there. Be there for my kids, be there for family, and how important that was, and that when the time was right, I'd be able to expand further. So I never stopped practicing Reiki or teaching Reiki, but I started to just do it more locally, work within my community, work within a day's drive of where I live, because I didn't want to miss those years when my daughters were growing up, and frankly, it was really busy, you know, just doing that, you know, and my other work as well for income as a woodworker and musician. So I had a very full life, and I realized that for some people it must have seemed like I just headed into the wilderness. I remember Rolf Holm writing an article for Reiki Magazine the first time we met about me, and it started out, alone on his solitary island. And I remember saying, Rolf, We have 1,000 people here. Rolf, we have stores. We have gas stations. We go to the movies on Tuesday night, you know, to try and, and then when I went to the Netherlands afterwards, I could see why people would think that because of the density and the modernness of the culture and everything. And
right.
So I guess my life is kind of romantic in a way like that, but the reality of it was I was focusing on my family when I was developing, and it wasn't like an incubation for me because I never much liked proselytizing, and I wasn't about to become a proselytizer, and until it didn't feel like that, I was going to stay home and just carry on practicing, you know.
Right.
So,
Right. Well, thank goodness, because I feel that right when you emerged, we really needed a breath of fresh air, and it was, you know, reminding me again every time I saw you in a group or connected with you or had a meeting where we were both attending, that there was this place that I remember, and I would have never connected with Reiki had I not had that place of natural innocence that the Kiki gave me, because that was really me at the time, although I didn't know it. Because, you know, it was one of those times of finding oneself, and I think that on some level, when people come to Reiki, that's a search that we all have as human beings, is to find parts of ourselves that we've either left behind or left with someone else to care for. And
yeah.
You know, Reiki kind of takes us around to pick those pieces up.
Yeah, finding who you are authentically, what your actual personality is and what your loves and passions are, and coming to peace with that. It's quite a journey, and the Kootenays was great for that, because we had a community of back to the landers, and we all had our little homesteads, and we all helped each other work when necessary,
right.
And we all were involved in spending time with each other's children as the need arose, or, you know, it was a bit of a tribe, and tree planting was also a tribe. 12 to 25 people out planting in the remotest places in British Columbia, any place where they logged, and that's almost everywhere. So we found ourselves moving in a tribal way quite a bit of the time, and it was reassuring. It showed me that there were other people thinking along those lines and trying to do something.
Uh-huh. And did you go back to tree planting once you had Reiki?
I tree planted for another 6 years off and on after that. I always have this three-cornered hat, and it still carries on this way. One of it is wood or wood-related things, everything from house building to stair building to instruments, and then Reiki, and then my music, which is, you know, they emerge at different times.
Yeah, great. Well, we'll be back for more discussion with Rick.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the 7th Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
My husband, he works 2 jobs. He's working real, real hard.
Barbara and Alfonso Pelaez lived in a neighborhood where there was crime and drugs.
The people next door, they're using drugs. fearful. We are scared.
They were living in a dangerous situation. They needed to move into a new environment.
Habitat for Humanity is helping the Palazes build a simple, decent, affordable home for their family. And they will buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage.
We decide to apply for a house.
This home is their hope, their security, and their life.
Barbara and Alfonso can now raise the children in the safety of their new home.
To build your own home is something real.
I'm so happy because I can take care of my family.
I want to get a house, a real house.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
Our dreams come true and we got a home. So, thanks, Habitat.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Rick Faulkner, another master who was initiated by Hawaii Takata. And we've been a little bit of reminiscing and a little bit of checking into what our feelings were at the time about spirituality. And I have in my mind this kind of title of kind of earth-based spirituality, which means that it wasn't connected to a religion. It was connected to watching the sun come up in the morning and watching the sun go down in the evening and watching the moon rise and watching plants grow and children's grow and the swirl of, as Rick put it, tribal communities that ebbed and flowed along with the relationships within that. And it wasn't, they weren't without emotional excitement because there was always something going on. But I... I really loved how people were really able to be candid up front, mostly not violent, but just really saying how it was. And it was just a beautiful state, and it's become very romantic in my mind. But sometimes I very much long to be back in those days where neighbors were, as far as I was concerned, really neighbors. And that was, yeah. That was a really sweet time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Rick, I'm just thinking that it would be really wonderful to put on one of your three corners hats. One of the corners is Reiki. Do you have a story about Hawaii Takata that you could share with us?
Well, maybe one that sort of we're talking about spirituality and how she sort of made us aware of that without pushing that at all. And one of the things was simplicity, and I try over and over and over to try and drive this into my students when I'm teaching. The concept was that this energy's there. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to develop it. It's not yours, but you reflect it and you're part of it. And so and when she was teaching, she kept her classes simple, practical. She used words like practical and scientific, and anyone can do it, and kept it very accessible to us. It wasn't mystified. And the other aspect of this was that we were to take no credit for Reiki. It wasn't something we did. We simply were like a mirror reflecting a signal to the person we were treating or to ourselves, and as such we didn't deserve our names and lights for that, which kept us out of some of the ego traps that happen in other disciplines and practices at times. So this story was about a young man who came to the class. It was about day three of the class, and he was living in a little cabin, and he'd been home practicing at night, treating himself. And she said, Mrs. Takata said, are there any questions? And this man raised his hand. She said, yes. And he says, last night I was sitting in my cabin. All the windows were shut. I had the curtains pulled, and I lit a candle, and just as I began to treat myself with Reiki, the candle flame began to flicker, and it threw shadows in the room, and all of a sudden the candle flame went out. What was that? And Takata paused for a minute and said, "Total fantasy. Now watch my hands." And she absolutely brought us back again and again and again to being present, to looking at what we were doing, to being open to feel things but not get picked up by them and carried off. And that message of simplicity and accessibility was so important to me. So in that moment, I mean, we all had a good laugh at that, including the guy who offered up the question, because he realized that it didn't matter what it was. It was about him doing his practice and sending treatments, and that was enough. That was enough. And yet, we all saw at times things that Mrs. Takata did, which kind of blew us away and made us wonder, how does she do that, you know? And yet, she knew enough not to tell us about things that we couldn't digest or hold, that they would become diversions at best, and they'd become ego traps at worst, and just slow us down and make our progress slow. So I love that she kept the mystery in Reiki, didn't try to explain everything that we might encounter along our path with it, and made it an accessible, practical, simple, everyday kind of a practice. And that, mm-hmm. you know, just to keep doing it was enough. That carried me through some times that I really needed that information and just how accessible. And that's also why we tended to see Reiki as gardening or playing guitar or parenting or raising children or in community dynamics. And so at the same time we were keeping it simple, we were also seeing how it expanded and moved into the world in a very positive and wonderful way, without us having to do anything about it. Just
right.
Consistency.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I've seen sometimes is that as I move into my world with a new idea, like my family is a really good example, because they do their own form of Reiki, but it's definitely not as formal or as conscious applied as what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the beginning I used to have these insights and kind of run back to my family wanting to share them, and they would all like kind of look at me like, so what? And
yeah, so what are you on, look?
So what are you, yeah, what's next? And what I realized is that this kind of interesting show title that I came up with, Balancing Form and Essence, it's like, for me, this life in the Kootenays was really this. It was such a balance of seeing that the essence was in everything.
Yeah.
And that there was also form for everything. So mm-hmm. it was obvious that if you followed a certain form for anything, whether it was pre-planning, birthing a child, or, you know, doing a Reiki treatment, the form gave us the freedom to experience the essence.
Yes.
And this was such a profound teaching for me. I don't know that I would be where I am today. I know that I wouldn't be where I am today if it hadn't been for those years I spent with all these wonderful people in the Kootenays.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's a concept I'm still working with. I do, these days I tend to do workshops for groups in different countries who are trying to explore Reiki on a deeper level. I still teach classes as well, but I'm doing one in Ontario in March called Water from the Well, and the idea is going back to source, to renew. In other words, it's like we carry all this knowledge and information, and how much are we actually accessing and integrating? And so this is about going back to the basics and simplicity, and then finding in that that all these incredibly intricate and beautiful patterns are revealed. And to me, Reiki in the world is a lot of it is about patterns, and I spend a lot of time looking at patterns, feeling patterns, letting patterns into me, whether it's in relationships or in nature or in my own life, to try to understand how energy is moving through and what it's creating. It's big work, and it all started with these fairly simple observations early on, but I think there's a hunger more in the community now for kind of continuing education. And okay, we've had level one and we've had level two, and some of us have had level three, and we want to keep learning, we want to keep absorbing and integrating what we know. And so I've been traveling with that the last 10 years, kind of seeing myself more as an elder who can maybe help with some of that in the community and offer my experience.
Yeah, wonderful. Do you hear a kind of drumming in the background?
No.
Oh, that must be me. Must be the jungle drum.
Must be, yeah.
Calling me back.
Yeah.
Well, I find that, you know, in lots of countries in the world, that people are coming more to wanting to find the simple. And it's so hard to say no to those things that prevent that possibility from happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for another break.
Okay.
Yeah, they come fast.
Goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back in a few minutes after this break.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Rick Bochner today, and he's sitting in his living room and off a little island off the coast of Vancouver. And you know, Rick, part of the theme of this time has been spiritual practice, and one of the underlying questions is Reiki a spiritual practice? Is this going to become a religion, and what is the difference between religion and a spiritual practice, and all these other questions? And I am trying to kind of step aside from that today and go back to really the simple kind of folk art, this is how I would call it, folk art simplicity of this practice as it was presented to us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happened to me is that I happened to be talking to another Reiki student and said, well, do you consider this to be your spiritual practice? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, you know, for me, praying is a spiritual practice. Putting my hands on other people is a spiritual practice. Sitting on the top of a hill and admiring God's work is a spiritual practice. Doing the rosary is a spiritual practice. So she really broke it down into, you know, again, these daily pieces of everyday life. And I know that ever since I've met you, I've always been drawn to your music, because for me it was, it seemed like that what came through your music was your spirit, and that this, could we call this also a part of your spiritual practice?
Definitely. I mean, music has been my expression since I was 7 or 8, and guitar in particular since that time. And so I was fortunate to grow up in a household where music was something you did and not primarily something you purchased. And so making music became a parallel development with my learning language and learning to write and school and all this stuff. And I, these days, my philosophy kind of creeps out through my songs, hopefully in a way that people can identify with on a wider scale than just me. But it's definitely part of my spiritual practice, as is Reiki. And I would agree with your student that the last precept of Dr. Sui is show gratitude to every living thing. And the real work of continuing our personal growth in Reiki is to learn to feel as connected and as possible by energy to everything around us and everything we do. So that task never ends. And so Reiki introduced me to these precepts that really helped me to continue to grow. And my music hopefully reflects that. It's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know that one of your songs is sort of, when I get really into the dumps and forget about my connection, there are a couple of people that I go to, and one of them is your song Fragments of Perfection, which is such a hymn for me, even though it's, I don't know if it was meant to be that, but...
I don't know what it was meant to be. Songs are like lightning to me, and they happen very quickly when they happen, and the real work is to remain open so that you notice if something's in the air and respond to it. And Fragments was a challenge from a songwriting class I took to write a really different kind of song than most of my other stuff, and to write a song about my spiritual beliefs about who we are and what we're here for. And when it finally came, it was on the last day of the workshop, and I was panicking, and finally just, wow, it took about 7 minutes to write the whole thing down, and it was played an hour later. And then there was a woman in the group who was doing a hymnal for the Unitarian Church and wanted non-sectarian hymns, and she asked to publish it, and so it kind of went through me and out into the world in 24 hours. I was quite impressed by that. And it's certainly been a song that people associate with my ideas about how the world is and personal growth.
Well, it's beautiful. I wish that we actually had time to play it on the air today, but we don't. But for those of you who are interested in Rick's music, you can go to what is this called?
I've got a site at MySpace. It's www.myspace.com. and then a forward slash and my name in small case with no spaces, Rick Bochner. And that'll bring you to a site that has some music you can listen to and a couple of videos that Rolf Holm filmed at a club in Amsterdam recently where I performed. And I've been a little slow to get into this modern world of technology, but this one's really helped me out a lot to make touch with people, and people can leave comments, say hello, have a listen, and find out where to get things. So that's
great. Cool. And they can contact you, right?
Yeah, there's email through that site as well.
Yeah. And then for those of you who are interested in Rick, in accompanying Rick for a few days or even longer through his being with Reiki, there are a couple of events that you have coming up, Rick.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes, I'm doing a weekend retreat in Ontario from March 28th to 30th, and the theme is Water from the Well, and it's about renewal of your Reiki enthusiasm and skills and talking with me about my experiences, and we'll explore Reiki through music and a bit of dance that my wife will be leading, Karina Verhoeva, and meditation, discussion, and shared treatments every day. And these things are really nice way to plug in again. People can find out about that by emailing contact@creativetheatercompany.com. These are my friends organizing it. Or they can call 1-905-777-4647 to get more information. And the other one is a week-long retreat in Spain. This is the second time I've done this one, and it was wonderful last year. Beautiful place in Andalusia, in a small village in the mountains, the real Sierra Nevadas. And the theme is coming to forgiveness. So we're going to explore the theme of forgiveness and how does one get there, and using Reiki to facilitate that and the precepts that relate to that. So I think it'll be a really wonderful week, and that's 7 days of hopefully sunshine was last time, and the wonderful community and beautiful place. So there's a couple of options. People interested in Spain can email Fiona Gray, F-E-O-N-A-G-R-A-Y, at clara.co.uk.
Or they can just get a hold of you directly.
Yeah, any old way they want to.
Yeah.
One way or another, they can find out about it.
Great. Well, I heard about your Spanish work this last
September, yeah.
Last September.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a close proximity of a tribal experience, this might be one of them.
Yeah.
I hear. Yeah, it sounded wonderful and sounded like it captured some of that it seems like a lifetime ago, several lifetimes ago, actually, for me. Mm-hmm. Remembrances of those innocent times in the Kootenays with my grandmother, Hawaii Otakata, and you and a number of our mutual acquaintances hanging out, listening and playing music, and being Reiki, actually.
Yeah.
I just felt like that was a part of our coming into our own with Reiki, and it was really very, very beautiful. And one of the things that is my imagination, which, who knows, I have no idea if this is true, but it felt so close to what it might have been actually in Japan, because it felt like that this practice just slid right into the fabric of the people's lives who were tree planters and back to the landers and so on. So, you know, I just heard all these stories about people going home and instantly applying it to everything that obviously needed Reiki.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it was a tractor, you have a great story about a dog. There's children, relatives, neighbors, and I even did Reiki on a stovepipe once because we were desperate to get stovepipe together. And, you know, sometimes it's just like these weird things, like the pipe is supposed to be, you know, so much in diameter, and it's supposed to go into this other one, and
right.
We tried and
never
tried
does.
And tried
yeah.
and tried, and then we both just said, okay, we're going to do Reiki on this. I can't stand it, and if this doesn't work, we're going to give up. We gave it Reiki for about I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and the thing just slid together after 2 hours of total frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't believe it, and it's one of my favorite stories. I mean, you know, people, some people can't relate to it, but I just loved that way of being with it, and I still retain that. I hope you do, too.
Well, it's among my most precious memories, and I'm so glad to have shared it with you, Phyllis. It was wonderful, wonderful times.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show, Rick.
Totally my pleasure, and take good care, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.